Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction industry, covering everything from big mega haunts to little home haunts. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be the podcast for you. And this week, we're going to talk about tech, baby. We're going to talk.
Yes.
But first, we have announcements. How are you doing, Crystal?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, it's our goofy intro this week.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But no, glad to be talking haunty stuff again. We don't get, even with this podcast, I don't think we get to do it often enough, do you?
No. I'm ready to get back out.
And yeah, it's time.
Start making stuff again.
Yes, it is. We take a bit of a break, and that break is coming to an end.
Yeah, we've got a conference next week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not Trans World, which is the week after.
Yeah. And that's kind of our intro announcement. We'll just go ahead and make it. Just a reminder to all you haunty people, if you did not know, Trans World Halloween and Attraction Show, or the HOTS Show. Is it HOTS?
Sorry. That sounds like. Okay. I was going with snake villain type hybrid.
Yes.
No.
Okay. But in all seriousness, Trans World's Halloween and Attraction Show is coming up. It is March 17th through the 20th at the America Center. Salute the America Center. It is in St. Louis, Missouri. So if you are interested, you should, like, you know, do stuff now so you can go.
Yeah, I've heard that there's real problem finding hotels in the area.
It's from multiple.
Keeping up with some.
That's multiple sources. We will not be going, unfortunately, as we have said a couple of times before. We are attending South By. We're actually leaving on the 10th coming up.
Correct.
And we'll be gone for some time. So we're even though the dates don't overlap, just to give you an idea, I speak, like, my actually do the talky thingy on the 15th, late in the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it's physically possible, but it's not physically possible at the same time.
Right.
Because I consider myself a reasonably athletic and energetic dude. If you couldn't tell from the podcast and the vibe I put out there, I'm sounding so 90s right now. It is making me sick.
We should not have watched X-Men before
yes,
doing
Yes, I know.
This.
Okay, it's actually my fault. I proposed watching X-Men, the animated series, before we came in here, and Jubilee is just too damn 90s, all right? It's just the truth. It's just the truth, people. But yes, we will not be going. It is not physically possible. But definitely, it is a great, great show. It is also for haunters, Halloween aficionados, and now they're making a special effort to include the escape room crowd.
Yes.
Which I consider escape rooms a type of haunted attraction, personally, for various reasons.
Yeah, they've got some, they definitely have elements to fit in.
Yeah. So, my personal tour, my personal thoughts there, but, you know, I've thrown my hat in the ring on the escape room issue.
Yeah.
Like anyone actually
We're
cares.
Actually trying and in talks with, hopefully, getting some people to come on and talk about that with us.
And that's something, you might have noticed we've not done a podcast yet about escape rooms.
Right.
We've done one. We rather enjoyed it. And
you went to
several talks at HauntCon about it.
Several talks at HauntCon.
And I know some, and I can, you know, because I'm me, I can BS my way through an hour of anything. But I don't want to BS you guys. I want to give you good information with everything I do, and you do too. So we are actually recruiting people who are really knowledgeable about this stuff.
Right, who are like building them. And
permitting them.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of the problem. They're not.
Okay, so they're working on it. But
they are.
Anyway.
I'm making a joke at their expense, but they are seriously working on it and hoping to open an
escape. Don't run them off before they get on the show.
They're hoping to open an escape room later this month. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. I'm not going to say too much more about who they are because they're awesome people and I don't want to spoil them.
Yep.
There, fair enough?
Fair.
All right. Fair. Fair. All right. But in all seriousness, we do have a great show for you this week. I'm really excited about this one.
Yes.
Because we're going to talk about tech and haunting. Now, I've said it before, you know, there are not many things we've been longer than we've been haunters.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, we have been very, very active with web development longer.
Yes.
We've been very active with not much else.
Well, you've been a writer.
Yeah, I've been a writer.
And I've been an artist.
Yes.
For longer. But that's about it.
Yeah, that is about it officially. So, long and short of it is, tech is like one of the few things that we both have that predate haunting in both of our lives.
Right.
And a love for tech, an obsession with tech, computers, watches, anything digital. I always got my goat. And, I tell people I was born at the exact perfect time because I was born in 1980. I got to watch the PC Revolution in my living room.
Right.
For like the 086 and Tandy 2 era, all the way to where we are today with MacBooks and all this stuff. It's crazy where we're at. So, you know, but yeah, tech and haunting. So, when I was drafting the show notes, I felt if we're going to start anywhere with the conversation of tech and haunting, it's got to start with the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland and Disney World.
Yes.
It's just the perfect place. It opened in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, there were other haunted attractions. They were like dark rides at fairs, and those still exist. And
right.
You know, I gotta say, I want to go on one.
Yeah.
The realization just sank in. I haven't been on one in like, how long have we been together? 15 years?
Yeah.
Like 18 years or so.
Well, we went on one of the little ones at the South Carolina State Fair.
Mm.
They had one there.
So 15 years. That was like the first year we were together, though.
Yeah. It didn't come back. We drove them off, obviously.
That was all us. We're sorry. Totally all us. It didn't help that we went through with the camera and did a haunt review as...
Yeah.
This is Garmin Tour, 15 years in the future. No, we did not actually...
afford a camera then.
We can't afford one now. What are you talking about?
That's why it's a podcast.
Oh, man. If we hadn't been given this recorder, we wouldn't have a podcast. But yes, dark rides existed and they were popular things at the time. But Disney, kind of what they did was they Disneyfied, that's a word now, the dark ride. And that's what the Haunted Mansion is. If you've never been to the Haunted Mansion and you're a haunter and you're listening to this podcast, what the hell is wrong with you?
I've never been to Disney.
Okay, that's your problem. Yeah. That's you. But, I mean, seriously, the Haunted Mansion is really a very interesting example. And it was very, very much a Disney attraction in that it combined low-tech and high-tech things. It used everything from stuff that had existed before and just, like, ramped it up and did it better, like Crank Ghosts and Pepper's Ghost. And now apparently, I did not know this. I learned this in the research. Pepper's Ghost is actually a scare from the 1800s or late 1800s.
Pretty cool.
I did not know it went that far back. That's
no.
Really cool. It was a Pepper's Ghost by itself was apparently like a sideshow attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would go when you'd see this, you just look at Pepper's Ghost, basically.
Well, you know, there wasn't a lot to do apparently, so.
What
that was mind blowing.
What I've learned is that people in the 1890s were bored,
or easily entertained,
or both. But yeah, but it did include some brand new technology at the time. One of the things that heavily featured was projections. And there was one projection that really blew a lot of people's minds.
Yes.
It was a Madame Leota's projection onto a crystal ball.
Right.
And they've done it a bunch of different ways over the years. But the way they did it in 1969 when they opened was they had a crystal ball that was colored, a neutral color for the room. And they would actually just use a projection onto it, and it would wrap around the ball and look 3D.
Yeah.
Use a specially filmed projection. And they ended up doing other things with it. They did it like fiber optics and stuff later. I mean, there's actually, this is true. Go to Wikipedia. There is like a whole page on how they did the Madame Leota projection. It's crazy.
Well, there's not only that, but there are a couple of yard haunts who use the old technology to produce the same, mm-hmm. you know, singing heads and stuff in their yards. You can find them on YouTube.
Yeah. But what was really cool about the Haunted Mansion was that it was really the first time a haunted attraction stood out because of its tech.
Right.
It kind of kicked off the tech war.
Right.
In a weird way, because, I mean, and it makes sense that Disney would be the ones to do it. I mean,
well, yeah.
Disney's Disney, man. And I mean, like I've said elsewhere, you know, the only time I've ever been truly scared at a haunted attraction was at a Disney attraction, and we'll be covering that in a later episode.
Right.
In fact, we talk about it in a podcast with a haunt topic.
Yeah.
So that hopefully that comes online soon. Can't wait to link to that. But yeah, Disney, of course, kicks off the tech war. Now, the idea of the haunted attraction was just taking off right around that time. The JC Haunts, which JC, I found out this too, stands for Junior Chamber of Commerce.
Oh.
I did not know that. I learned a lot of stuff in researching this episode.
I can tell.
Did you know that?
No.
Okay. The JC Haunts were popular because one JC discovered that this was a neat way of making money. And then basically the word went out to the JCs all over the world, over the little JC internet that existed in the 1970s or whatever.
telling them letters.
Oh, it was letters and phone call. Yes. I mean, they had phones. Let's not blow this out of place. They had horses too, I'm sure. And cars.
Well, how do you think the letters got there? It was by horseback.
Oh, okay.
Duh.
But yeah, the JC Haunts were kind of the opposite of the Haunted Mansion. The Haunted Mansion was basically a dark ride because right. You get in the little car, you go get driven through it. The JC Haunts were either free roam or scene based, depending upon the exact haunt, but most of them were scene based at the time. And you went on your feet, and they were very low tech affairs.
Yeah.
You know, what we refer to lovingly as 2x4 technology.
Right. Yeah, and in fact, you know, the one that we volunteered at was
based, it was a Boy Scout haunt, but yeah, same
principle.
It was a Boy
Scout haunt, but it was the same type of affair, I would imagine.
Yeah, and, you know, build walls, build scares, rely heavily on human actors, volunteers,
right,
to scare people, and, yeah, it was fairly a straightforward affair. It wasn't really until the 1980s that mm-hmm. what we think of as the more modern professional haunt began to take off. And with commercial haunts came
technology.
And more money, which became technology, actually. So I was thinking, we misread. But
yes, well.
But, you know, that's basically the idea. Is once, you know, real money is being spent on this, you get technology. It's worth your time to invest money in tech, because tech was a way to separate yourself from competitors, in particular those pesky JC haunts that were still everywhere and still scooping up all the yummy, yummy haunt dollars.
Yeah, because you can, I mean, pretty much anybody can build a 2x4 technology haunt if they have the know-how.
No.
You know.
Some basic carpentry skills. And,
yeah. Some ingenuity and creativity, you can build one.
I am no carpenter by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
I'm barely even allowed to use power tools.
You've gotten better over the past 10 years.
I wish this were a video podcast right now so you could just see the look she gave me. It was the most patronizing look I've ever received.
Sorry.
It's like, oh, bless your heart. You've gotten so much better.
Oh, no, you really have. We don't have holes from frustration in our wall as often.
Oh, man. Now the holes are intentional.
Exactly.
But yes, but one of the first areas... What were we talking about? This tech and haunting, and it's now proved into the make stupid jokes, which every podcast is here.
Yeah.
Really the first area of technology was animatronics.
Right.
And it's interesting because, once again, haunts kind of took the lead from Disney a little bit.
Right.
And that Disney had the Hall of Presidents, which uses animatronics for, well, presidents. And the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. The Hall of Presidents opened in 1971. Pirates of the Caribbean opened in 1967. And so animatronics, you know, got its start there. And now haunts began to really push the idea of animatronics into the haunt itself. And
right.
And it's interesting because animatronics, as we all know, come in three basic varieties.
Right.
Electrical, pneumatic, and hydraulic.
Right.
Most haunts don't do hydraulic because they are silly dangerous. You don't want to leak hydraulic fluid all over or risk a blowout with that.
No.
And you're not usually lifting enough to warrant hydraulics.
Yeah.
But pneumatics and electrical are very common.
Yeah. I would... Let us know what you think about
that. Yeah, if you have used hydraulics in your haunt, let us know.
How did it work? Did you learn anything? Did anybody die when it exploded? Bad idea? No. I'm pretty sure we would have heard about that.
I'm pretty sure we've heard about that.
You probably would have found it in this research.
Yeah, in the news or something else. But the point remains, Disney sort of kicked it off there, and haunts throughout the nation began to slowly adopt it. And the main reason for adopting animatronics and haunts initially was as a way of setting yourself apart.
Right. It was,
look at this really cool prop. Look at this thing we have. We have a dragon. We have a giant spider. We have... Help me out here.
And gargoyles.
Gargoyles, yeah.
We have gargoyles locally. I was just thinking, you know, haunts still do this.
Yeah, they do, yes.
You know, it's not something that's... They brought in and then got rid of.
Oh, absolutely not. I agree.
There's still, you know, lots and lots of money being spent on these huge animatronics. And some haunts are pretty heavily rely on animatronics. It's something that we disagree with personally. We prefer actor-driven.
Well, and,
but animatronics have their place.
Well, they have their place, A. And B, there are advantages. They... You know, don't need pay if you're in a pay
or
haunt.
Food
or
and,
rest or
they don't get sick and they don't just forget to show up.
They don't grope the customers usually.
Yeah.
You know,
they don't need makeup every night.
Yeah. Animatronics can add something to the haunt if they're used correctly. And like I said, in the 80s, it was really, really amazing because animatronics were a thing of Disney.
Yeah.
I remember thinking when I was a kid that the word animatronic meant like a Disney prop.
Yeah.
I don't remember it meaning like a generic term for an animated prop until much later.
I don't know because Disney was kind of always out of our reach, but Chuck E. Cheese.
AKA the inspiration for Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had animatronics. I saw those.
Barely animatronic. Yes, but that is probably... I'd have to look up, when did Chuck E. Cheese start? That's a good question.
I don't know, but I'm just thinking that, you know, that's probably my first interaction with an animatronic character.
Oh, wow. You know, Chuck E. Cheese was founded in 1977.
Uh-huh.
Wow, and the first one was in San Jose, California.
Okay.
Interesting. And I learned, by the way, I never had Chuck E. Cheese growing up.
Oh, okay.
I had Showbiz Pizza.
Oh.
Which was basically the same damn thing.
Yeah.
But I grew up in South Carolina.
Yeah.
We didn't have no fancy Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, in Texas, it was Pistol Pete's.
So. But yes, I forget about those animatronics because, you know, A, they suck.
Yeah.
And that's why Five Nights and Freddy's is so damn creepy.
Well, I don't know. I was always kind of mesmerized by them and wanted to know how they worked and how to build them.
Little servos inside operating the mouth and all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually would go and watch the show every time while I was there, okay? Sorry.
Well, yeah, you couldn't help it. They ran the damn thing so often, you really couldn't avoid it.
Yeah.
Unless you were, like, hiding out in the arcade.
Yeah. Or the ball pit.
Or the ball pit, but yeah. But no, it's really interesting because, like I said, and that's kind of the thing. Because Chuck E. Cheese, or Showbiz Pizza, or whatever, used animatronics in the same way.
Right.
That was their hook. That lured people in.
Yeah.
Come see the animatronics. Normally, you can only see this crap at expensive places like Disney World.
Exactly.
But you can see it here, and mind you, it's like half as good as Disney's.
But
it's free with the pizza.
Exactly. You get food for the price of seeing the animatronics.
Buy the tokens.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good
and
point.
And for people who haven't seen anything better at that point especially, it was cool.
Yeah. Now, other things did start becoming used for more practical, less showy purposes.
Right.
And two of the big ones were pressure pads.
Yes, which this is Jonathan getting back on topic.
Yeah, I know, sorry.
That's okay.
We got sidetracked by Chuck E. Cheese, man. That's going to happen. We're halfway through this podcast. We're about just a little bit shy halfway through. And I know we're going to want to talk about computer stuff.
Probably.
Yeah, so, like, it's interesting because you had the technology elements, which were very, very customer-facing, like the animatronics. And you did have some haunts that made use of the projections and so forth that you saw at Disney World. But you had an increasing amount of technology that was not customer-facing.
Right.
In fact, it was meant to be customer-invisible, though some haunts make it more invisible than others.
Yeah, I think that part has grown significantly.
Yeah. Right. And pressure mats have been around for a long time.
Right.
The idea of pressure pad activation for props has been around for a long, long time.
Right.
And nowadays, you can actually buy pressure pads like Harbor Freight for a few bucks.
Yeah, I think they're $4 last time I checked.
They're terrible
quality.
They're
unreliable, and you get what you pay for.
I do not dispute that. I'm just saying they're everywhere now. That's the point I'm trying to make. But yeah, so it was interesting because they brought in all the showy stuff, and then they realized, oh crap, if we don't have a way to activate this, we still need an actor.
Right, we need some way to time it to the customer.
Yeah, and the solution initially was pressure pads, but pretty quickly laser trips became popular too. I don't know exactly when, but I remember laser trips. I think I remember them even on like the double zeros and so forth.
Right,
being pretty common. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty amazing considering laser pointers were just becoming a big thing.
Yeah, well, there's laser trips, and there's also there were a lot of hacks, and there still are, for like motion sensor lights.
Yeah,
so that whenever a customer would walk in front of the sensor, it would start to activate the props.
Yeah, and it's kind of bizarre because it's like when tech first entered haunting in general, it was all about what can we show the customer, what can we hook them.
Right.
And then haunters realized, oh crap, we need to use tech, you know, for our benefit too.
Right.
And slowly, ever since then, increasingly tech has been more and more and more about behind the scenes stuff in haunting.
Yeah.
Which is, like, that's the trend I've noticed in researching this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the reason for this is, of course, with increased automation, you get much better reliability.
Right.
Humans, as we talked about, need breaks. They falter. They make mistakes.
Yeah.
Laser trips do not make mistakes, hopefully. If it's not a faulty laser trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry,
I was just thinking about those documentary, and I put as many air quotes around that as possible, where the people go to the haunted houses, and there's always some kind of criminal element there.
Oh,
that works there.
The house is October built.
Yeah.
That's going to be a separate episode.
That was one example, but there have been others that claim to be documentaries that were like that. I'm just thinking, you know, it'd be impossible for that if all haunts were completely automatic.
Well,
and animatronic.
Remember, we talked previously about how we went to a totally automated haunted attraction.
Yes.
At Eckert's Fun Farm.
Yep.
So,
interesting.
We have been to a totally automated haunt. I would not say it was the most impressive experience of my life.
No, but it was interesting.
It was very interesting from a theoretical standpoint.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that, Jenna.
Yeah. Basically, you know, if we were doing the, we watch a show, web series called Extra Credits about games. And they do these are games that are interesting, but not necessarily good.
Games you might not have tried as the series.
Yeah.
And basically they say, these are games that are interesting, some are great, Some are just interesting and useful from a, like some kind of game design or...
Right, you could build off of it if you wanted to. It's good for inspiration for a new way to think about it.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily going to be the greatest game you ever played, but it's going to be something to get you thinking. That's what that was.
Right.
So, you know, and... You know, but it's another example of technology and haunting there. Of course, that one was almost all push button.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you get the, you also need fewer actors whenever you lean more on automation. And you can have your actors that you do have doing more, because if you've got actor, animatronic or something going, or a digital effect or something, and then you've got another actor scare, the same actor might have time to get between those two scares.
Right.
So you can actually, in some cases, a third, or more than a third of your actors that you need, if you do it smart.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been to haunts, and, you know, I would say, honestly, I gripe to say this, but The Darkness is one of them in my experience, where it was so heavily reliant on technology.
Right.
And so unreliant on actors. And it was a little bit of a disappointment. That being said, the actors outside The Darkness were literally the best I think I've ever seen in any haunt I've ever been. But, yeah. But still, that's another separate conversation. Now, what has changed most notably in our time in haunting, I would say 10 to 15 years or so, has been the computer revolution reached the inside of the haunt.
Right.
In a big, big way.
Well, yeah, because it's easier to control everything if you network it all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really, really been the thing, is that computers have gotten smaller, they've gotten cheaper. You can buy, like, Raspberry Pis for $35 right now.
Yeah.
$35.
Yeah.
You can't, that is cheaper than the prop it will activate by a factor of a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, there's usually some younger person, sometimes older person on the staff that can know how to set up this, but there's also consultants that specialize in working with haunts on getting this computer brain set up so that they can network everything.
Yeah, and that's really been kind of the direction the haunt industry's been going in tech, and what I've been seeing is haunts are using what I like to think of as digital or computer brains.
Right.
There's somewhere inside a haunt, there is a war room type environment. Yep. Where, A, they obviously have security monitoring and all that stuff. So, but they also basically have the computers, and sometimes it's even like an actual rack of servers that run the haunt.
Yeah.
They control everything.
The lighting, the sound, the emergency systems. Mm-hmm.
The fire safety systems. Yeah. They can control the animatronics when they fire and when they don't fire.
They can control doors when they open, when they don't. They can control which video is playing at what time on what screen.
And it can even, in some situations, be used to help cue actors.
Yes.
Because, like I said, those motion sensors and so forth can be really great if an actor is behind a wall or is otherwise blind.
Right.
To let them know when to activate the scare.
Yep.
And I've actually seen haunts doing that. And we actually experimented with that a little bit on Pressman. It didn't work so well for us, but other haunts seem to have figured out the Da Vinci Code on that better than we have.
Yeah.
That's not a surprise, honestly. And it's been really interesting to watch this PC revolution, because we're seeing haunts where previously, like, you know, the fire safety system, the lighting system, the animatronics, and all that were all different systems. They were all controlled. Right. By different controllers. Now, increasingly, we're seeing it all funnel through the exact same system.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, and this is something, we all wouldn't talk about when we go pro or if we go pro, what we're doing.
Right.
This is something I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it probably does deserve a more in-depth look at it.
Yeah.
Because there are different ways to do it. You know, you can do it to where your safety system is on a completely separate network or part of your war room.
Yeah.
So that if the other part fails, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know.
And so that obviously follow your local fire codes and blah, 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 usual caveat.
Talk all to that. Experts.
Talk to someone that knows more about fire safety than our asses. Yeah. But this idea of centralizing everything that needs to be activated into one system is crazy useful.
Yeah.
Because it enables you from within one room in your haunt to make some major changes.
Right.
A digital effect not timed right. Right. A sound cue not right. Audio right. in this area bleeding into another area.
Mm-hmm.
You can change all that by sliders or editing options within one room, often on one computer.
Yeah. And I think that, in a strange way, my suspicion at least,
mm-hmm.
we haven't gone into all of the detail yet, my suspicion is that this has progressed into the escape room.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all timing and you know, you unlock different parts of it.
Yeah.
Through mechanisms, and that has to be ran together.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our convo with the escape room, guys. We might have to make that a two-parter, honestly.
Yeah.
Because if when we do this, we're going to have to sit down and spend some time.
Yeah.
Because they are, yeah. I agree, you're probably right, though.
And I can just, in my brain, it's a natural progression.
Yes. And I honestly, I think without this kind of technology, escape rooms, they wouldn't be impossible. But no. would be much more difficult to do.
Right.
Because, you know...
Well...
I mean, yes, an escape room is a series of puzzles, but it involves tight control, tight monitoring, right. and the ability to adjust the action on the fly.
Right.
And a lot of... I know a lot of haunts, and I've spoke to a lot of escape room actors, rely on their actors to do this.
Yeah.
But... if people are just flipping geniuses and are solving puzzles really well,
yeah,
you know, you might need some external controls to help, you know,
help slow them down.
Help slow them down a little bit.
Well, and the other thing is, if you did want to play around with a completely automatic haunt type experience, you could probably program an escape room to run without actors, yeah. just voice cues.
Absolutely. I'm very sure you could. I don't know how high quality it would be. Once again, it goes back to the automated haunt we went to.
Right.
Was it interesting? Very. Am I yeah. glad I went? Extremely.
Yeah.
But am I going to put it in the top 10 haunts I've ever been to? Hell no.
Right.
You know, it was a great experience, but, and I think an escape room would have those same issues.
Yeah.
That being said... it's pretty cool. Now, one thing I found interesting is, and then this is something we've done in general with haunts, is that we've been getting more and more self-contained units for activation, for operating those brain mechanisms.
Right.
And obviously everyone knows what a Boo Box is, for example.
Yeah.
There's also the Pico Boo, which is a lower cost version of it. Raspberry Pis and other computers as well that operate as controllers and as mini computers too.
Right.
You know, it's in, I was thinking about it as I was doing these notes. It's really interesting how, remember the very first time you saw the videos on, I think it wasn't even on YouTube, it was before YouTube. Of
online.
Online somewhere of the house with like the Christmas lights timed to the music.
Yeah.
I remember watching a video of the guy doing that.
Yeah.
And he had a rack of servers and he had the power controllers set up, and he literally coded it out by hand. All it took him all year.
Yeah.
It was insane how much special equipment and special knowledge this took.
Right.
Well, people realized, hey, those lights look pretty cool.
Yeah.
And now, if I want to do something that awesome, I probably still need specialized equipment, specialized programming. But if I just want something similar, yeah. and a lot of times in haunting, you just need similar. You don't need exactly the same. There are self-contained units that do the exact same thing.
Right. And it's always a good idea to check out what Christmas is doing, because Christmas has been doing this kind of stuff for longer.
Hey, as long as I can make a hanging person by stuffing a dancing Santa in a burlap sack, yep. I'm keeping up with Christmas. I'm just That's a pro tip right there.
Yeah, look it up.
Look it up, kids. It's a fun one. It's actually really cool.
Yeah, we decided it's probably too extreme
for our haunt, but if and when we do go pro, we're definitely doing it.
Yeah. But we already have Santa.
That's the problem. Those dancing Santas are tough to buy.
Yeah, we found one at a thrift shop.
Of all the places, and we got it cheap too.
Yeah.
I was like, what, $30?
Yeah, something like that.
Like, it was really cheap. But yeah, So, and this is something that's been interesting for me to watch, and it's not just in this particular area. It's other areas of haunting, too, is the haunt industry has grown as more money has come into it, as more haunts have opened.
Right.
We're seeing more and more outside vendors, technology vendors of all stripes, catering specifically to it.
Right.
We have our own website designers, design companies. Yeah. We have our own web payment and online payment, credit card transaction company, HauntPay. Yeah. We have a handful of companies building custom controllers for haunts, including like the Picoboo, and that allows programming of animations.
Right.
On the box.
Yeah.
It's been fascinating because every year new vendors come that want to serve just our industry.
Right.
And that's been especially interesting to watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, technology has not just remained behind the scenes. There are other technologies of interest, as it turns out.
Nope.
Not, okay, we're done. Okay, pack it up. We're done. Crystal said no. Pack it up. It's over. Go home.
So what are these other areas of interest?
Well, one is, and this goes back to the Haunted Mansion, projections.
Yeah.
And I have watched...
These are making a big comeback.
Yeah, and a lot of it is the... I don't know, maybe this is just me, but it seems like the cost of projectors has dropped like a stone.
Yeah, like we could buy one.
Like our broke asses can buy one.
Yeah. But,
And it's interesting because now even, like, Spirit is selling the DVDs to do projections.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that started in, I mean, there were, like, a few, there's always been, like, some there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, we'll cater to the weirdo that has a projector somewhere. Just in case. But now, like in the last few years, like we go into Spirit, it's like a rack of these.
Right. And where it used to be something that you would only see in really high-end haunted houses or in the people who were dedicated to program everything by hand, like the lights guy. Yeah,
exactly.
You just didn't see it available.
Yeah.
For the general public.
Yeah, and this
and now it's kind of overtaken the market.
It really, really has. And now pretty much every haunt of any stripe or size. Our haunt, we used a projection last year.
And the year before?
Great distraction.
Yes.
I gotta say, projections are great for a distract and startle.
Yeah.
They really are. And part of it is because now people have seen them enough. To the point people still look at him because it's the bright light in the room.
And it's moving
and it's interesting, but they're not, you know, actively scared of it anymore. They know what it is.
Yeah, I really wonder if anybody was ever actually scared of it.
Well,
if
you go back to like the late 60s and 70s, people had no idea how that was done.
Right. Well, I mean, it was like the first movie was of a train.
Yeah, exactly.
The first movie picture ever. The Great Train Robbery,
yeah.
Yes. And so when the train came towards the audience fled.
Yeah, I mean...
At least that's what they told me in art history.
Well, it wasn't the train. It was when he fired at the camera. The robber took out a gun and fired a bullet straight toward the camera.
Okay, maybe we should research this more, because my teacher told me different.
It was one or the other, but either way, something came toward the camera, people scattered. It's really kind of a moot point.
Yeah. But yeah, I could see how projections, when they first came out, were like that.
Now, and that's one of those weird things, is yes, there had always been movie projectors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how movie theaters work, for the love of God.
Yeah.
Projectors have been around, but the idea of projecting something like that and making it look 3D... as you do the projection.
Right.
You know, this is what Disney does. They take existing technology that's very, very ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And they use it in a way that was very exceptional. And they did it with the Crank Ghost, too. Because Crank Ghost had been in those dark rides forever. The Crank Ghost, up and down, up and down. But what they did was they lit it in such a way that the wires could not be seen at all.
Yeah.
They lit it, they painted it, they presented it in such a way that it truly looked like a ghost, even though it was the same technology that had been around for probably damn near 100 years by that point.
Yeah.
That's Disney.
Lighting and set design, really important.
And Disney, I mean, the D in Disney, I think, stands for detail.
Okay.
I really do.
I'm sure other people would come up with other D words.
But We're going to earn that mature rating this podcast, folks. Oh. This is the Republican debate. I have very large hands.
God.
Good night, everybody.
All right. So we've only talked about projections. We need to talk about other stuff.
Immediately.
Holograms. Holograms.
Yes, the next item on the list. Holograms actually are finally becoming more, and the first time I ever saw a true hologram was at Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum when I was 16 years old. I remember that they had one. It was of a drunk leprechaun falling into a bus. I am not making this up.
That's pretty funny.
They projected a leprechaun onto like I can't remember if it was a vase or a pot. But like on the lip of it, and it was sitting there and it was drunk, like, wee, I love it. And they're like, huh. It's like really offensive to us Irish people.
Yeah.
And then he goes, whoop, and falls into it in a poof of smoke as he hits bottom.
That's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny, but that was the very first hologram I saw.
So the first memory I have of a hologram was going through the mall, and there was a hologram kiosk, which wasn't anything like what you're talking about or anything so cool, but it was basically just a 3D image on jewelry.
Yeah.
They sold the little pendants and stuff.
And what I remember might not have been a true hologram.
Yeah, but sounds close to a projection, honestly.
It was a variation of a projection, I'd be certain. And holograms, to a degree, are.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is now holograms are getting to be very, very, very easy for just about everyone. If you go on YouTube right now and search for hologram video, you will find a bunch of hologram videos as well as instructions on how to turn your iPhone or Android phone into a hologram projector.
That's pretty cool.
What you do is you basically cut out a, it's kind of hard to describe, it's a diamond-shaped piece of clear plastic that you set in the center of your phone that when the video, because the video, and I'm going to show Crystal.
You set your phone in the center of.
You set it in the center of your phone. You lay your phone face up, and you put this on top of your phone.
Oh, okay.
And it projects up. So you can see how it has the four-sided video.
Right.
It projects on each side of the cube, creating a complete 3D image in the center of it. It's actually a really cool effect.
No Obi-Wan Kenobi joke.
No Obi-Wan Kenobi joke. Sorry. It's a really, really cool effect. And stuff like that can be done by idiots like us now.
Yeah.
You know, just you could theoretically at least get a spare TV.
Right.
And build the same thing, just build in a larger scale. So holograms are getting more and more approachable by all haunts. So that's something that's going to be very big. Now, one big technology revolution in recent years is LED lighting.
Right.
This has been huge.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. When it comes to technology and haunting, we as an industry, I think, have more Raspberry Pis and Arduinos and things like that per business than any other industry that's not in Silicon Valley.
Right.
And I also think we were the first industry to really fall in love with and adopt LED lighting.
Yes. We love them.
We love LED light. LED lighting is better in almost every way. Other than initial cost, it is better in every way. It runs cool. It uses so little power that fire code actually struggles with it.
Right. It isn't in a lot of fire codes. That's one of the things I learned.
It's a bit like how your Prius struggles with emission tests sometimes.
Yeah.
But it also allows for you to change color.
Right.
It allows you to change intensity super easily.
Yeah.
And
it's easy to spotlight.
It's easy to turn into a blink bulb.
Yeah.
It's perfectly flexible in almost every way.
Right.
It's like God himself made a light bulb is what it's like. And it can even be turned into like little LED strips. I mean, I'm constantly blown away by LED lighting because I remember burning my hand on light bulbs growing up. Anyone who's like over the age of 25 probably does.
Probably.
So yeah, LED lighting. We've also as an industry very quickly adopted surround sound.
Yes.
A Dolby surround was originally invented for movie theaters. Was also adopted by home theaters too, but also was almost immediately widely used by haunts because it is a great way to project sound behind people and beside people.
Right, and if you are running a small, low-budget haunt without a brain, Without a computer brain, you can hook up little MP3 players to individual speakers, put them around your haunt.
Yeah.
And get the surround sound effect.
Yeah, so it's really, really interesting how surround sound has taken off. And, of course, other 3D effects that we have seen, such as the LCD panels and so forth that operate, that appear to be 3D.
Right.
Have really changed haunting.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I did all this research, went through all this. I'm trying to think of what's the next big technological innovation for haunting. And we've got a few minutes left. Do you have any thoughts on that, Crystal?
Oh, just throw me under the bus so that you can think about it. I see how this works.
Yeah, no, totally. But, well, the reason I ask is because, you know, we have seen, obviously, a lot of different innovations come and go. We've had the 3D glasses haunts that were really popular for a time. And there's still a few places to do it. House of Shock here does it now, and Darkness, of course, still does it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where we've seen some tech-y fads come and go.
Right.
But I feel like digital brains are here to stay.
Yeah, I do too. So I've got two ideas. Okay. One you and I have talked about because I stopped myself from saying it on a previous podcast because of ethical quandaries.
Okay, go ahead, though.
And that was simply exploiting social media.
Yes.
To get images of your customer to project onto picture frame, you know, picture frame walls kind of thing.
Well,
or to fill up a room with their images. I think that would really freak out people.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be memorable. I'm not sure about the ethical side of that. But it seems like if they're putting it out there,
Well, that is one of the things. I've complained on this show multiple times, and will continue to complain.
Yeah.
That our industry sucks when it comes to web stuff.
Right.
In general. That is our weakest tech link. Right. We already did one episode about web design. We're going to probably do several more along those lines, maybe including one about social media in particular.
Yeah.
But the idea of bringing the internet into the haunt is a very interesting idea. And it's something that can be done. If it can be done in an ethical and safe way, it can be very, very effective because the internet is a way to bring something from the outside world into the haunt.
Right.
And to present something to the customer that maybe you should not be able to present to them.
Right. Whenever we were talking about the legendary house that, you know, the guy goes home and he's still in the haunt.
Yeah.
That's what got me thinking, okay, well, how could you actually bring somebody's home life to a haunted house?
And you can't, obviously. We can't build every house in the country.
No, but you can bring in images from their life that they aren't expected to see in your business.
Yeah. And social media makes that possible.
Yep.
And it's a very interesting lesson about social media in general. It's a very scary lesson about...
Yes, it is.
I mean, everybody will go home and delete Facebook if you do that.
Yeah. We had about, a 3-hour discussion about...
the ethics of it. And we didn't come up with any good answers.
How it would work.
You know,
so, the other thing I was thinking, though, that would be cool would be to have moving projections.
Mm-hmm.
So that it starts out at one part of the room and moves across the room. It's projected onto different mannequins or whatever. So they're
like
full.
Put the projector on a slide or something.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. You know, I think for me, what I'm noticing in general with the internet, and I think is going to become more and more popular, I think the next big wave of haunting is we're going to see the appification of running a haunt.
Yeah.
Because right now we have all these digital brains, but they're still not super easy to manage and set up.
Yeah.
And that's where there's some room for disruption, I think, is we're going to see companies come in, like we're seeing for mining companies, we're seeing it for hospitals.
Right.
Come in and create apps and create tools that are out of the box able to run and operate haunted attractions.
Right. There was a person at HauntCon that had built the switches and basically Puzzle Tech, I think.
Yeah.
Was the name of the company.
I think you're right, yeah.
I know it had Puzzle in the name. but basically they build all of the tech for the escape rooms.
Yeah.
And the tech talk that I was in, they mentioned a lot of really old, outdated technology in the rest of the universe. So
yeah, you know,
so it is definitely an area we can improve
it in. Yeah, and it's like I said, there's some technology in this industry we jump on the second it's out there.
Right.
Raspberry Pis, controllers, yep. We're over the LED lighting, we're out to the hardware store buying up every last damn bulb the day they hit the shelves.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we got ours on Amazon. They were really cheap. For the color changing.
Yeah, but other areas we seem to be very slow with.
Right.
And it's very bizarre how that is with our industry. I can't easily predict what we pick up and what we don't super quick.
Right.
And I think a lot of it is many people in the industry, and I know I include myself in this, we're still stuck in that mindset of 2x4 technology. We're still back in mentally, in many ways, back in the JC era of haunting, even if it's just in pining.
Yeah, but I do think that, you know, the younger generation who grew up with so much technology and being absolutely so connected, will make some pretty interesting changes to our industry. And B, if we could scare them with that.
I guess, and we're running low on time here. I think we're about out of time.
Yeah.
I guess the moral to the story for me is if you are even my age, 35.
Yeah.
Even if you're my age or older, you've got younger people than you working your haunt, I can guarantee you.
Yeah.
Listen to their ideas on tech. Talk to them about what's going on. Talk to them about what can be applied, especially if they are programmers or wannabe programmers.
Right.
Listen to them because, you know, this is an area we're going to have to start really ramping up in the next few years. We can't be left behind in the digital revolution. We're already conceding. We've already conceded a lot of ground online.
Yeah.
I mean,
no kidding.
Jeebus. We have some terrible, terrible websites, but we cannot concede ground inside the haunt too.
Right.
So that's my thought there. Well, and it's a brief wrap up. A little bit of history of haunting. We should do a history of haunting episode.
I already put it in our notes.
I bet. On that, so I'm out of topics. You got anything else you want to add, Crystal?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. This has been a fun conversation. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly for Tech in Haunting. We will see you guys next week. Let's talk about tech, baby. No.